and welcome. It's hour number two of the podcast. This hour, all about the early Monday night game, the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. You know the mantra of our show, the better stories in the losing locker room. We will examine the Houdini Act by Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They were the darlings of the NFL the first 4 weeks, but life comes at you fast in the football business, and Buffalo exposed his frauds the last 2 weeks. We take a closer look here in hour number two. Dubbed the feel-good story of the first quarter of the NFL season, life comes at you fast in Buffalo. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border and beyond, on the vast Fox Sports Radio Network, emanating live from the Geico FSR studios. Glad you have chosen to hang out with us. We do appreciate that. So, the Monday night doubleheader, we have done the postmortem on the Cowboys. You can certainly talk about that. I see some people on hold that want to yap about the Dallas Cowboys' demise as Arizona ran through the Dallas Cowboys and get a blowout win as Andy Dalton began his Cowboy career. And let's just say Zeke Elliott was not all there. Zeke decided to give the football away multiple times. That gave 14 points to the other team. Altogether, the Arizona Cardinals offense was the beneficiary of 24 points off turnovers. 24 points in that game. But let's focus in on the early Monday night game from an empty stadium on the shores of the lake. Not the mistake by the lake, but you might as well call it that. Andy Reid and the Chiefs deep into the bag of tricks. Andy Reid went as it was rainy and cold, a chilly October's night in Buffalo, or October's evening, as the Chiefs went to the ground and pound offense to win this game. Don't know if you saw it or not. Maybe not. It was an odd start time. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has already been demoted, and he's going to be a part-time player going forward in weeks to come, but he had 161 yards. Kansas City as a team ran for 245 yards, the most that franchise has had in almost a decade. You got to go back to 2012, the last time a Kansas City team was that prolific running the football. But it was only the second time that the Chiefs had run the ball more than they passed since Patrick Mahomes took over in 37 career starts. And this is the second time that the Chiefs decided to run the ball more than throw the ball. Kansas City gets back in the win column. They had that hiccup against the Raiders. So the Chiefs improved to 5-1 on the season. The better story, though, yes, that's right, it's not in the Kansas City locker room. Everybody loves to talk about winners. We like to talk about losers. So let's go into the losing locker room where Buffalo goes down in defeat in splendid fashion. The game was actually close for a half. For a half, the game was close. You never really got the feeling, though, even in the first half, watching the game in real time, that Buffalo was going to actually win said game. It was a 13-10 game. Kansas City had the lead at halftime, but you're still like, whoa, what's going on here? What the heck's going on? Because at half, it was a game where you look at the numbers, you're like, well, wait a minute here. Josh Allen can't complete anything. He's terrible. What's going on? And that brings us to a larger question. The Bills are 4-2. They've now lost two consecutive games. They had the ball in their hands here. They had an opportunity, another golden opportunity, to prove to the football world that they are not frauds. And they got the ball shoved down their throats, the Bills did, on defense. And they watched Josh Allen provide another PU, what stinks, type of performance under center. So let us discuss. What do you make of the Buffalo Bills' latest performance against one of the better teams in the NFL, and now losing back-to-back in this loss to Kansas City? So I have the balloon, wins, and daily double. And we will lock all these things together. Now, number one. So Josh Allen's MVP campaign to say it has come apart at the seams. This is a Harry Houdini special, is what this is. Josh Allen was the most popular man on campus, big man on campus, right? He was the talk of the town the first 4 weeks of the regular season. Even I was starting to pay attention to Josh Allen, but I said I was skeptical. I want to see how he does the next couple of games, and it proved that my caution was accurate. His name, though, after four games, Josh Allen's name was being mentioned among the all-time greats. And among the all-time greats. And the first 4 weeks of the regular season, Josh Allen had 12 touchdowns, one interception. He was gunning the ball all over the field. He was averaging over 10 yards per pass attempt. He was completing 70% of his passes. His passer rating was over 120. And that seems like a lifetime ago at this particular point, because for the second consecutive game, Josh Allen had an opportunity to legitimize that start, to prove that that was not some kind of early season mirage. And he played about as well as he did. Actually played worse, technically, in this game, but he had a stinker against the Titans, and he comes back against the Chiefs. These are the two teams that were in the AFC title game. Tennessee and Kansas City at Arrowhead last year. The winner goes to the Super Bowl. Conventional wisdom told us that this was a placement test situation. And the report card is in now for the back-to-back games. Josh Allen on the Maller report card. He gets an F. He gets an F. He's a failure. Josh Allen, blow it, right? He took a pin, a little pin, and popped the hype balloon. Right, this is a letdown situation. Say it with me now. Overrated. Overrated. That's Josh Allen until proven otherwise. You don't become an all-time great beating up on bad teams or average teams. You got to do it against the top teams. This was an alarming, deflating couple of weeks. And how bad has Josh Allen been these last two games? He has provided shoddy, inadequate quarterback play in games where the Buffalo Bills had other problems. But Josh Allen, he did not make things better. The last 2 weeks against the Chiefs and the Titans, four touchdowns, three interceptions. He averaged less than 6 yards per pass attempt. Less than 6 yards per pass attempt. Completed less than 60% of his passes, Josh Allen. And his passer rating was under 80. It was at 75.9. That is what's known as the flame is out. The flame of life is out. The Buffalo Bills and their mafia, the Bills mafia, can pretend that this did not happen, but I saw it. I saw it. I witnessed it. I spent a lot of time watching football. It kind of goes with the job. Kansas City. This is not an all-time great defensive team. The Chiefs, they win with their offense. Their defense is along for the ride. The Chiefs, 23rd ranked defense in the NFL coming in. Not exactly the 2000 Ravens or the mid-80s Chicago Bears. So it's back to the drawing board now for Josh Allen. And I imagine against the more inferior opponents, Josh Allen will be slinging the football around again. But you start to look down the line, and you're like, okay, what's going to happen next time the Buffalo Bills play a good team? How is Josh Allen going to respond to that challenge? Now, he's got the perfect opportunity here to have a great game because he's playing the Jets. The Bills play the Jets in Week 7, so I expect Josh Allen to have a bounce-back performance. Everyone has a bounce-back performance against the Jets. But looking down the line, the next opportunity for a wow type of performance for the Buffalo Bills and battled quarterback, you got to look all the way down the line. Some will say the Seattle game. I disagree. Seattle sucks on defense. Seattle's a good offensive team. They're winning with some smoke and mirrors now. So I'm not going to say the Seattle game. That's in Buffalo. I'm going to say you got to wait all the way to week 14 against the Pittsburgh Steelers and that Steeler defense. That is the last game, the only game left where I'm looking at, and that's got the wow factor. That's got the wow factor for Josh Allen. Now, the second thing, while Allen is getting the lion's share of the blame, that's how this works. Quarterbacks get the blame. They get the glory when things go well. There's plenty of other blame to go around. We can play the blame game and cut the pie up. The Chiefs needing a jolt of energy in their running game. They thought so little of their ability to run the football that they signed Le'Veon Bell. He was not allowed to play in this game because of the COVID protocols, and so Clyde Edwards-Helaire then proceeded to run the ball like a pinball bouncing off Bills defenders. Reminded me of like high school football practice when the coach would tell you, hey, dummy, why are you tackling with your arms? That's not how you're going to stop anybody. And this is the NFL, and the Buffalo Bills defenders were trying to stop Clyde Edwards-Helaire with their arms. And as a result, he looked very evasive. He was slithery as a snake as he was running through the Bills' defense. And Edwards-Helaire, the guy's going to be demoted, right? He just put up 161 yards on the ground, averaged over 6 yards a carry. He was actually around 7 yards a carry most of the game. The numbers went down in the fourth quarter. And he was shoveling this down the throats of the Bills. Kansas City played most of this game without not one but two starting offensive linemen. And that makes this an emasculating situation for what was at one point the 4-0 Buffalo Bills, but now the 4-2 Buffalo Bills. And questions have to be asked and will be asked of Sean McDermott. It's a small-town team in Buffalo, but Sean McDermott is a defensive guy. That's his pedigree. Defense, defense, defense. The Bills' defense has been a bunch of pushovers against the better teams here. Bunch of pushovers. Even the Rams, who I think are an average team, they're a playoff type of contender, but they're not a great team. The Rams sliced up the Buffalo Bills defense. They lost that game because the Bills were the beneficiary of a crap call that went in favor of Buffalo. Otherwise, the Rams end up winning that game. So they got lucky on that one, but they gave up a bunch of yards to Jared Goff in that game. The Chiefs, in this Monday night game, 466 yards, 27 first downs on a rainy, chilly night, which you would think is Bills weather. Right, that this team's supposed to be built for that at home. I know there's no fans there. The Titans, the week before in that Fugazi Tuesday night game, Tennessee had 25 first downs. Ryan Tannehill torching the Buffalo defense for 3 touchdowns. So I expect something to change here. The winds of change to soon blow off Lake Erie. And I am looking at one name in particular here as a fall guy, because you got to have a fall guy. Leslie Frazier, the defensive assistant for the Buffalo Bills. Now, he's already been mentioned on the hot seat. He's got the dreaded vote of confidence. Within the last 10 days, he got a vote of confidence. So you got to think the heat gets cranked up here and ratcheted up on Leslie Frazier as they look for a scapegoat for the Buffalo Bills defensive players attempting to tackle like a freshman high school football player. All right, final point. So the Bills, who not only suffered the shame and indignity of watching Kansas City with their running game, not their passing game, their running game beat them, which is embarrassing, beaten to a pulp by the running game, we also have the daily double. We've got the daily double here. They also did something that should really annoy one of the great diehard fan bases in the entire NFL, the entire United States landscape of sports. The Buffalo Bills recently, we just saw this, it came out on Monday. The Buffalo Bills recently applied with the United States Patent and Trademark Office for what term? Did you see this? Bills Mafia. That's right. The Buffalo Bills want exclusive use of the term Bills Mafia to sell fans hats, shirts, sweaters, and other overpriced apparel with that logo on it, the Bills Mafia logo. Now, I'm not anti-capitalism. I'm not. And obviously, this is a capitalistic type of move because the Bills are trying to monetize the Bills Mafia. But this one leaves a sour taste in my mouth. What is Bills Mafia? Here's what Bills Mafia is. Bills Mafia is a grassroots movement of the most diehard, diabolical Buffalo Bill fan. The unruly, beer-guzzling, fire-starting, jumping-on-table-smashing, tailgate-loving, diehard fan of the Buffalo Bills. This is not some corporate situation, which the Bills are now making it because they're going to, if they get this, and I assume they will, with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, get the trademark to Bills Mafia, then Bills Mafia is going to have to come up with a different name because they can't be under that corporate umbrella. I've seen the people lighting tables on fire and jumping into tables and jumping off the top of RVs. Those aren't people that are under the corporate world. They're not. Right? So can we say rest in peace to the radical, rowdy, raucous, ridiculous side of the Bills Mafia? And now it's going to be a buttoned up corporate thing with overpriced collectibles, right? That's what you're going to get. That's the Bills Mafia. That's the new Bills Mafia. That's what's going to happen. I don't like it. That's the way it is, though. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We will hear, coming up in a few minutes, we will hear from Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. We'll go inside the locker room and hear what they had to say. We will take your phone calls at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369 if you would like to be part. And we'll take your calls and all that. A busy, busy bee. A busy, busy bee. We'll get to that. And we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's nothing more powerful than the unified voice of the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show by following your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones. He is the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
Sexy boy.
And I'm live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's Ben Maller.
I did see the comments from our buddy Ed in Spokane, who seems like he's a man on a mission. And I cannot encourage your activity there, Ed. But I did laugh and chuckle when I saw what you were throwing out there. As Robbie, the Mariner fan, said, Maller maneuvering. Yes. I'm not allowed to endorse that. Cannot do it. We also had a recommendation on the drink. Luke the Drifter writes, and he said, somebody needs to tell Ben, I think you've just told me, Luke, that a specialty drink, Maller Maneuver, has to be a concoction or a blend to be an actual drink in a bartender's guide. My suggestion is equal parts Everclear, Gatorade, and NyQuil. Very funny, Luke. Very, very funny. So, I understand there has to be some kind of mixing. You can't just have it, give me a straight whiskey. I mean, that wouldn't really be something special there, but we have to come up with something that the people want, the people clamor for. So we're still working on that. We're efforting that as we speak. Rob in Vegas writes in and says, I bet a certain Josh Allen fan is in a corner somewhere sucking his thumb and weeping uncontrollably. That was a savage yet accurate beatdown monologue, Maller. I bet this fan will take his fat head off his ceiling and put it back in his closet. Points out. Well, it had to be done. It had to be done. Big Rig Rob writes in, says, another Marconi-esque monologue, but I have a hard time believing that Bills fans who toss, are we allowed to say that word? I don't know. Onto the field would ever go corporate. Plus, people in Buffalo have no idea how to tie a half Windsor. So much for suits, he has to say. All right. Very, very nice. Let's go to the phones, and we'll hear from the participants here post-game, Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, in a couple of minutes. Let's say hello to Real Talk, who's in New York City. Hello, Real Talk. Boom, 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 boom.
You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. It's Big Ben Maller. Justin Cooper, Roberto, and Real Talk. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, baby! Yeah!
Yeah! Woo! I'm honored that you have blessed us with your presence here. I guess Stern must be off this week, but I'm glad you've chosen to call in here, Real Talk.
Hey now. That's our new catchphrase, man. You like it? Hey now.
Hey now. Wonder where you got that from. Hey now. I can't imagine.
Hey, so, you know.
Are you going to start calling Coop Baba Booey all of a sudden? Are you going to be doing that also? Or, on.
How's Robin? How's Robin? And
Miss Robin over there. That's right. Our update with Miss Robin. Yes, that's right.
Speaking of sidekicks, Ben, you know, I want to talk about your sidekick, Eddie Garcia, because I feel that people were a little kind of lame on his birthday on Friday, and on Monday they didn't do anything real big. Because, you know, the thing is, I think people don't know Eddie as well as they should. And I can't think of another way to get to know Eddie as well as you should with another round of Ben and the People.
Yeah, there it is.
Are you down?
All right, Ben and the People. Let's play the game here now. What are three questions? Is that normally what we do, three or four questions? And then
okay, so for those who don't know how Ben and the People work, I'm going to ask Ben particular questions about a person in the room. Ben's going to give his answer how he thinks that person would answer. That person will have the chance to respond or retort. And we'll go forward. So, Ben, are you ready to play Ben and the People, the Eddie Garcia birthday edition?
I am so excited. Rah, rah. Let's do it. Here we go.
All right. Okay, so question number one. So, Eddie Garcia is at a certain age where men, for preventive maintenance or health, get colonoscopies. Do you think Eddie has had one yet or is planning on getting one?
Yeah, I think Eddie's had that done. I think you get to a certain age, you kind of have to have it done.
Yeah, you have to.
So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go yes.
Does Eddie want to answer or just want to go forward?
Yes. The answer is yes.
All right. How many have you had one done, Eddie, or two?
just one.
Just one. Okay. All right. I thought maybe you liked it so much you went back and said, let's do that again.
Roberto, that's coming up for you.
Nice, nice. Okay, so question number two, Guns N' Roses or Metallica?
All right, Guns N' Roses or Metallica. Let's see, I know where Eddie grew up.
If you get this wrong, Ben, I swear to God.
Yeah, I know. Come on, man. I even know this.
I'm going to go Guns N' Roses.
Oh no!
Going Guns N' Roses?
God.
Going Guns N' Roses?
It's not even close. It's Metallica.
Well, I've never seen you listen to music. I've never seen you listen to any music.
How did Coop and Roberto both know?
I don't know. Maybe you gave him the answer. You cheated.
All right. Question number three. The vote is coming up the first week of November. Ben, do you think Eddie has already voted through correspondence, will vote on election day, or Eddie's not going to vote at all this year?
No, I think Eddie will vote, and he's definitely not going to vote at the polling station. So I say I don't think he's voted yet, but he is going to vote, and he will mail in his ballot. That's what I'm going with. Final answer.
I would like to go to the poll, but my wife doesn't want me to, so she usually wins. So I have not voted yet. I probably will mail it in, yes.
Okay, so I think I nailed that one.
Boom. All right, and then here comes the last question. And, of course, Ben, you know the last question is sponsored by Geico. You know, Ben, I know we're parked these days. We are sharing more. Geico's sharing more with the Geico Gift Back. 50, you know what, Ben? It's going to be 20% off car and motorcycle insurance for the next 24 hours. Just go on geico.com/giftback for terms of eligibility. And now for the final question. And, Ben, I really need Eddie to answer this question because it would really help our relationship. Does Eddie prefer Astroglide or KY jelly? We're gonna fuck him in the ass!
All right, thank you for that. The answer. Will people hear the answer? Will America hear? Nobody heard the question, so how will they know the answer? That's one of the reasons you need to stay on hold, because if you stay on hold, you hear the unfiltered show. The unfiltered show. You do hear the unfiltered show. All right, so we mentioned Busy Bee. That would be Joe Buck. Now, many of the TV radio consultants have been having a field day. They're making it seem like Joe Buck is going to die from labor, from working so much. And I don't get it. He called the game Sunday. He's been calling the National League Championship Series. He did that last week, the NLCS. And now he did the football game on Sunday, so he missed the baseball game. Then he did on Monday, he did another football game, the Chiefs-Bills game, and now he's going to do the World Series. And also on Thursday, he'll do the stink bomb Giants-Eagles game. So he's going to be working every night on TV. And like the TV radio critics are making it seem like Joe Buck is building a 17-story building with his bare hands. I mean, listen, he's traveling and staying at 5-star hotels. he's, I'm imagining Fox is getting him private travel because of the schedule that he's on going from these football games back to the baseball game. So he's likely flying chartered flights. And good for him. Good for him. But this is not exactly, you know, being a truck driver and being on the road for 26 days out of a month. You know, he's on the road, and then after that, he'll go back to his schedule of one or two games a week, and then that'll be that. Let's not try to make this out of something it's not. Please.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Ben, did you see that the Tennessee Titans apparently are going to be escaping any severe punishment for the issues they had with the forbidden team workouts while their, you know, team headquarters were closed because of some positive COVID tests, according to the NFL Network. A fine is still probably coming, but an investigation by the league and the Players Association has concluded, and there's not going to be any kind of forfeiture of draft picks, certainly no forfeited games or anything like that, apparently, for the Tennessee
Titans.
Well,
the Titans are lucky. They're off the grid, Eddie. They're not in the crosshairs of the commissioner's office. If the same set of events had happened, let's say with, I don't know, Bill Belichick, do you think the NFL would have the same position? We'll just do a fine. That's it. We're good. I'm gonna guess no. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say no. But anyway, we'll have more on that, I'm sure, later. Eddie, thank you. It is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here, bloviating the overnight hours away from the Geico FSR studios. And so congratulations to Adam Gase, the coach of the New York Jets. Now, he's been around for several years now, and his coaching career point differential, games that Adam Gase has coached in, his teams have been outscored by 436 points. 436 points. That includes one season with Miami when they actually made the postseason, but they were still outscored by 17 points. And I think the number was he's lost, is it 30 or 32 games by double digits in his coaching career? So it's unreal. This guy keeping his job, and why not? The Jets are trying to get Trevor Lawrence, and Adam Gase is the perfect coach to get them the number one pick and get them Trevor Lawrence. So just keep sending them out there, and you'll lose a bunch of games, and Adam Gase will be looking with those crazy eyes, and you don't know what's going on, and that's just the way it's going to go. Now, speaking of a team in that division, the Buffalo Bills, who pulled the Houdini act, we gave you the numbers earlier on Josh Allen, who's been exposed by the Titans and the Chiefs, these two big opponents, back-to-back games, and Josh Allen's been the bad Josh Allen. That's the Wyoming Josh Allen. And he pointed out after the game that the F word is settling in now for him.
It didn't matter who we played tonight. If that's how we play, you know, we're going to struggle to win games. So it is what it is right now. We learn from this. I'm obviously super frustrated with myself and how I performed tonight, and I can't do that to this team. So, you know, I got to be better. I will be better.
Yeah. Again, a very generic soundbite from Josh Allen. You could have used that after any Buffalo Bills loss, right? He did not give the opponent. He did not give any specifics. Play it again, Roberto. This is Josh Allen giving no specifics.
It didn't matter who we played tonight. If that's how we play, you know, we're going to struggle to win games. So it is what it is right now. We'll learn from this. I'm obviously super frustrated with myself and how I performed tonight, and I can't do that to this team. So, you know, I got to be better. I will be better.
So we can just save that for any Bills loss, and we can play that. Here is more from Josh Allen. Now, I say the Bills should panic. Josh Allen, do you think the Buffalo Bills need to panic?
We're not going to panic. We're going to stay solid in our locker room and, you know, be a family. We're 4-2. You know,
families panic.
We got to, you know, stay ahead of the curve and get things rolling. And, you know, it's no panic, but there is a sense of urgency in this locker room that we have to be better, myself included, and myself leading that charge.
How much fun would it be if teams actually came out and said, you know, we really need to panic. We're effed. We are screwed. We screwed the pooch. We've got it. We've got to panic. Here's Sean McDermott, the coach of the Buffalo Bills here, who points out that there's plenty of blame to go around.
Listen, this is an explosive offense we went against. So got to pick your poison a little bit. And I know the numbers statistically aren't good, you know, when we look at our defense against our offense. But you got to pick your poison here in terms of how you want to go about attacking them there.
Yes. Turns out the Bills took all the poison and drank it, is what they did. It's They didn't have to pick their poison. They just took all of the poison. They said, let me have some of that. Let me have some of that. Let me have some of that. Let's go to New Mexico. And Teresa is up next here on Fox Sports Radio. Hello, Teresa.
Hey, Ben. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm all right. What's going on with you?
You know what? First of all, let's just lay this out on the line. Dallas sucked. They really sucked. Enough said. Let's give credit to where credit is due tonight. Yeah, Dallas sucked, but why did the Cardinals win tonight? They sucked buttermilk towards the beginning of the first quarter. Then what happened? Our defense knuckled up and said, "You know what? We lost our big pass rusher. We lost Chandler Jones. So what? Time for the team to knuckle up and play like we know how to play." Kyler Murray, he didn't do well in the passing game. He only made what, 9 passes, but he planted his foot and he decided he wanted to win the game. So he started getting passes over to the running back and he started running for yardage. I think what we showed tonight on the Monday night game was that the Cardinals, they may not be the best in the league, but dadgummit, we got something to prove and we're proving it.
Wow. Was that a prepared speech there, Teresa? That was, did you have this written down? I think you did. Yes.
No, man, I just memorized it. I've been watching the games and rooting for my cards like all season.
Philip Rivers would be proud of that dadgummit.
Yeah, I like that you threw the dadgummit. Is that like a New Mexico thing, or where'd you get that from?
No, I just don't curse, man. I just don't curse.
Oh, you don't curse? You've never cursed, even when you were little? You never cursed when you were little?
No, I try not to. I mean, I mean, don't get me wrong, if I get really ticked off, I curse, but like I really try not to.
All right. Well, that's good, man. I don't curse for 4 hours. I don't curse 4 hours a night on the radio, but the rest of the time I am like a sailor.
Hey, does podcasting count? Because I podcast, so, you know.
There you go. Well, I think you're allowed to curse on podcasts, though. It's only the FCC-governed airwaves that you can. Yeah. So, all right. Well, look at you. You got a podcast going. You got the whole thing. You're blowing up there. You're multimedia, Teresa, is what you are.
Yeah, well. You know, I try, man. Hey, I'm really liking what you said. By the way, that Josh Allen guy, he reminds me of Matt Leinart when he started making snarky comments when the team will ride and die with me. And the next game later that year, he cracked his collarbone.
Are you predicting doom and gloom? Thank you. Big Cardinal fan there. She likes her Cardinals, I think. Isn't that what I got out of that? I think so. Maybe not. I don't know. Daggummit. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. We got Maller to the third degree coming up here in a couple of minutes. Time now for the Insta Trivia, the Insta Trivia, and here it is. So Dustin May went one inning in the Dodgers' win, Game 7, over the Atlanta Braves in the National League Championship Series. That is the shortest outing by a starter in a Game 7 since blank. Now, this was by design, but Dustin May went one inning in the Dodgers' NLCS win over the Braves in Game 7. Shortest outing by a starter in a Game 7 setup since blank. Fill in the blank. That's the question. The answer is next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The Ben Maller Show is scientifically proven to help make time fly by while working the third shift. We have a track record of almost 20 years of nocturnal service. Help support our daily battle against insomnia by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your support. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's Ben Maller.
Great. Coming up here is the Insta Trivia. Dustin May went just one inning in the Dodgers NLCS win over the Braves in that Game 7. That's the shortest outing by a starter in a Game 7 since blank. That is the question. What's the answer? David, who knows where all the good restaurants are in Seattle, is going with Turk Loan of the Chicago White Sox back in the day. It's his answer. Manic Mike got this one right. Clearly cheating in Nashville. The Grill Sergeant says Floyd Bannister is the correct answer. Alf, the alien opiner, going with David Gagon's internet producing skills. Randy Johnson from Hobby Bobby. Butterbean tossed out by Tortilla Man Tony. Ed from Spokane says Ben Maller for president is the correct answer. Doyle Alexander from Rob in Minnesota. Who else do we have? Paige down here. A lot of reaction to Teresa from New Mexico. Dang gummit. Jeffrey Mayer from Fire Lake DJ. Kike Hernandez, tossed out by multiple people. Who else? Denny Nagel from Eric. That's his answer. Tommy Lasorda from Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia. Paige down. Rick Vaughn from Just Josh in Cincinnati. Will Ferrell, guessed by Mr. Nice Guy. Do you have an answer, Eddie?
Yeah, I believe it's Jason Grimsley.
Ah, the Grim Reaper. Is it Jason Grimsley? Nope, sorry, it's not Craig Lefferts, guessed by Double O Mexican. The correct answer, Donovan Osborne of the 1996 St. Louis Cardinals.
Was he a Canadian, if I remember correctly?
That was a game the Cardinals lost 15-0 to the Atlanta Braves. He went two-thirds of an inning. But that was back in the days. I remember back in the 90s, pitchers actually tried to go far into games. They didn't try to come out after one inning. That wasn't part of the master plan.
No, nope, he was not Canadian. I just looked it up.
Bad job. You think everyone, Canadian. You're a hockey guy. You think everyone's Canadian.
That's not true.
I think it's true. I think all people who you like in sports or you've heard of are Canadian. All right, straight ahead, though, right now. Here it is.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, we bring in the Coop Da Loop for the third degree.
So Trevor Bauer's agent took to Twitter over the weekend to make it clear that they will be entertaining all offers, despite Bauer's previous comments that he'd only take one-year deals. Ben, where does the wheel of speculation put Trevor Bauer next season?
Yeah, well, shocking that Trevor Bauer would have a change of heart when his agent said, hey, dummy, you know how much money you could get if you sign a multi-year deal? Now, if you're going to spin the Maller wheel of speculation, you start. There we go. We spin the wheel. All right. Well, yeah, it's obvious. You start with the Yankees and the Red Sox. These are the big whales. They're the usual suspects. That's the high-rent district. If you're a free agent, you want a big-money contract, you need the Yankees and or Red Sox involved in a bidding war. So I'll start with that. And then there, you've got the second tier, which includes the Angels, the White Sox, the Twins. I could even see a team like the Giants getting in on this. The Gigantes to try to get in Trevor Bauer sweepstakes. But he is the BMW of free agency. Everyone else is like a Honda Civic among the pitchers. So there will be plenty of interest. But I got the Red Sox, Yankees at the top. Then the second line, the Angels, White Sox, and Twins. All right, next.
So the New York Giants were able to get their first win of the season thanks in part to a decision from Ron Rivera. The Washington football team scored a touchdown near the end of the fourth quarter that would have tied the game, but Rivera tried to win it by going for two. It didn't work, but Rivera defended his decision after the game. Do you defend it too, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell does Ron Rivera have to lose? There's 36 seconds left, I believe. He's got a dog crap team. You play to win the game. I like that. You can play fearless football when you coach Washington. And secondly, the only problem I have is the execution. Kyle Allen did not even get the ball into the end zone. That was atrocious. But going forward, I got no problem with that. Next.
There are reportedly teams around the NFL that think the Titans should be punished over their COVID outbreak. Apparently, they might get fined, but no lost draft picks or anything else like that.
Yeah.
Ben, what do you think should happen?
Well, I think they shouldn't be punished. Roger Goodell is going to bite his tongue on this one. The Titans are not one of the teams, as we said earlier, in the crosshairs of the league office. The NFL also doesn't want to set a precedent because other teams are going to have outbreaks. So they want to try to be the good cop. How do we do, Coop?
You pass.
There it is. That's a winner at the buzzer. Woo!